as the rays of sunlight banish the shadows of night, O God, so let the light of thy compelling love illumine our hearts today. We present ourselves before thee as thy servants. Open to us, through this servant, our guest, some new vision of how we can make our love real by responding to the needs of our neighbors. Stir us, kindle us, arouse us, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. Some lines from The Wisdom of Jesus, Son of Sirach, chapter 38, beginning with verse 12. And give the physician his place, for the Lord created him. Let him not leave you, for there is need of him. There is a time when success lies in the hands of physicians, for they too will pray to the Lord that he should grant them success in diagnosis and in healing for the sake of preserving life. He who sins before his Maker, may he fall into the care of a physician. Our Missionary Day speaker for today is well known to many of us, since he has been called on by various groups of our denomination from time to time to share his thoughts and his experience. During the years that I served at the North Carolina Baptist Hospital, I came to know him first of all as a medical student who occasionally got into scrapes on account of his unconventional behavior. Over the years since then, he has, I'm happy to say, not lost his ability to be creatively unconventional. He came by this trait naturally. His father, a delightfully original and unstuffy attorney in Asheville, was an active member of the First Baptist Church of that city, and I understand that although a loyal supporter of his pastor, Dr. Crouch, during the days that I knew him, Mr. George was known from time to time to give his pastor a few gray hairs. So Tim comes by his creativity naturally. A lover of the mountains, I understand he's no happier than when he is tramping the hills. So those of you who still have mica under your toenails have a kindred spirit with us today. He's done a large amount of tramping over the world for the Foreign Mission Board in support of medical missions on various fields. A surgeon, medical professor, researcher, but underneath these roles, a genuine, fresh, and warm Christian, we delight to welcome Dr. Timothy Pennell, whom we will hear gladly after the anthem.
I consider it a genuine honor to be invited and involved as a Missionary Day speaker here at Southeastern. This institution and this place hold a very special meaning in my heart and my mind, in my heritage, for which I treasure. Most impressive about Southeastern, to me, is the caliber of people who have been and are called here to teach, to lead, and to learn. It's been my privilege in recent years to undertake a new endeavor of service for our Foreign Mission Board by serving as a visiting professor, a consultant, an evaluator, and I guess a troubleshooter. In this role, I've had the opportunity not only to work in most of our mission hospitals and medical work, but in government hospitals and institutions, medical schools, as well as meeting with ministers of health and the heads of state to discuss and plan missions and health care delivery in many of the emerging countries of the world. On the basis of this experience, I want to share with you some observations on missions. Observations from a different vantage, from a different perspective, namely that of a layman because I'm not part of the establishment, if I may use the terminology of a half a generation ago, nor am I under appointment, nor am I currently seeking appointment, and I'm certainly not an official spokesman for the Foreign Mission Board. So then some personal observations and personal insights. The time has unequivocally come for new methods, new approaches, new techniques for the overseas presentation of the unchanging gospel of Jesus Christ. This is being referred to by many as the planning of a bold new strategy. And there are many reasons for these needed changes. Certainly one of the most obvious reasons is the growing feeling of nationalism that exists the world over. The development of pride in one's own country, one's own people, one's own culture. And admittedly, many times this is good and healthy and beneficial. But all too often it is a false pride, overbearing, self-defeating. An example of this in most of the countries in Africa is if a black can do it, the white, the expatriate, the foreigner is persona non grata. He's not wanted. He's not welcome. He's not allowed. Further complicate this for missions and missionaries is the not infrequent fact that if a devout Hindu or a devout Muslim or other non-Christian is appointed to a position of authority, it is virtually impossible for us to gain and be granted work or entry visas. This is having a profound effect on missions. It is literally closing traditional doors and traditional methods of missions and evangelism, and will continue to have a profound effect on mission strategy. The effect of inflation and devaluation of the dollar is and will continue to likewise have a profound effect on missions and mission strategy. Now, those of you who have heard me address myself to missions in the past will recall that a money pitch and appeal has not been part of my approach, or frankly, even my concern. But again, time and conditions are changing, and this has become a major, if not the major problem, facing our mission undertaking today. And we will return to this aspect later. The changing role of nations themselves is necessitating new approaches. The involvement of emerging nations in world rule, in world politics, in world economy is apparent to all of us. Nigeria, and Iran, and the other oil-producing countries. Palestine, Israel, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, Peru, China. Yes, China. Japan, Vietnam. The list goes on and on. We must keep up and be prepared for these changes, many of which we do not have any direct control over. Yet there are still other changes and trends over which we do have control that demand a bold new strategy. And let's look very quickly at some of these. There is a need in our new strategy for a re-emphasis and expansion of indigenization. Re-emphasis and expansion of indigenization. The development of strong local churches with a biblically sound basis, but in the culture, in the language, in the lifestyle of the people that we are called to serve is essential. And this must continue to be our goal, our aim, and our primary objective. To try and make stereotypes replica Southern Baptist and Southern Baptist churches, complete with steeples, white columns, maroon carpet, and maroon cushions on the floor. Everywhere we go is wrong. Is wrong. It must be done in the language, in the lifestyles, and in the culture of the local people. Their order of worship, their songs of praise, their hymns, their own expressions of prayer to the same living and loving God. The Pentecostals are showing us how all over South America. And we must learn from this group. We must learn this aspect of their outreach and their ministry and their indigenization in our new mission strategy. Our work in Ethiopia, which is comparatively new, excites me along these lines. The concept there, the basic approach to the presentation of the gospel is through a community development concept. In the Munz area, which is up in the high central, high mountain plateau, actually, in the central region of Ethiopia, our mission force, in addition to medical and veterinary care, which incidentally is being done in government installations and government clinics, government buildings, government programs, our missionaries have started an intriguing wool rug market. First came a vocational trainer under appointment of our board who began to teach the nationals, the locals there, how to take the unique wool that they have at hand and weave rugs. And then led them in an exportation business. And these rugs are literally being sold all over the world. This resulted in a need for more wool and the development of a wool market. This resulted in an improving of the herds of the sheep and the quality of the wool and led to an expansion of the economy that had never ever been before experienced in this area of the world. An important new concept as we look at strategy. An important new concept. You cannot tell sick, starving, hopeless people about the love of God unless there is some demonstration of that love. This to me is significant and exciting, but the most significant aspect and the most exciting aspect as far as I'm concerned is we're not trying to develop Southern Baptist churches in Ethiopia. Instead, we're bringing about revival in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. A church based on the Judeo-Christian faith and heritage, but one that has become stagnant, stale, dormant, often far afield because of a lack of leadership, because of a lack of biblical interpretation, Bible study, because of a lack of education, and because of a lack of a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Evangelism is literally sweeping this area because of revival among the priests, among the leaders, among these local indigenous churches. Revival in and with an indigenous church with indigenous form and means of worship. The primary concern of our mission force there is a reconciliation with God through the means that are at hand. And this is significant. Closely akin to this need is the profile and role of the missionary of the future. Keith Parks, the newly appointed Mission Support Division Secretary at the Board, has helped me crystallize my own thinking and thoughts along these lines more than anyone or anything else. And I've done a great deal of thinking about it. Time does not allow for detailing all of the qualifications of the missionary of the future, but it must and will include some of the following. Number one, a call, a plain old-fashioned call. And whether we want to admit it or not, there is a distinction. There is a clear-cut call to mission service. We do not all have the special gift of calling or of missionary talent, but we are all called to be involved. We are all called to be involved. The second qualification is vibrant spirituality. Vibrant spirituality. Third, there must be an increase and an expansion of professional expertise. An increase and an expansion of professional expertise. That's obvious that we will be appointing many more and varied, quote, specialists, occupationally oriented missionaries, businessmen, educators, the entire field of medical care, doctors, dentists, nurses, physicians, assistants, technicians, agriculturalists, veterinarians, musicians, plumbers. The list goes on and on. But the core, the heart, the backbone of our mission force is the general field evangelist. The general field evangelist. This is the most urgent need now and will continue to be the most urgent need in the future. We will be utilizing more short-term personnel, volunteers, associates, special projects, task force, journeymen. But any effective, functional, long-range mission outreach must be based on career appointment. Career appointment. And this must imply to everyone involved, the Foreign Mission Board, the appointee, his family, her family, their church, the mission, everyone involved, this must imply an undetermined period of time. An undetermined period of time. There are many well-established and documented reasons for this career general evangelist need. One factor that is not as yet widely recognized, or at least not as yet widely accepted, is this. We vocationally oriented people, medicine, education, musicians, administrators, etc., even though we may be called, even though we may be set apart, and all that goes with it, all that this implies, we have not been able to, and we will not be able to function. We have not, and we will not be able to peacefully coexist, and we have not been able to, and we will not be able to get the job done without pastoral guidance and leadership. This has been demonstrated to me again the world over. Be not deceived. You are the core. You are the essential person now and in the future. There are other qualifications in addition to professional expertise. Professional expertise not only of the physician but the general evangelist and all that are involved. And this is essential because we dare not. We cannot offer anything second-rate or mediocre in the name of Jesus Christ. The missionary of the future must be flexible. He and she must have the opportunity for creativity within the framework of the Foreign Mission Board. The missionary of the future must be willing to assume a low profile, with leadership roles going to local Christians. Actually being willing to assume servantship roles. Must be an enabler, an innovator, a catalytic agent for spiritual, physical, and mental change. And these people will be needed until Christ returns. Other things include a need for administrative policy change. There is an urgent need for the delegation of responsibility down through the ranks. Delegation of responsibility. There are some of us who feel very strongly that a functional division of responsibility would be far more realistic and far more effective than the current geographic or area division. This is especially true for medical missions. We need to more closely define and specify job descriptions. Closely define and specify job descriptions. And in connection with this, we must formulate and establish means to evaluate the effectiveness of our work. How effective are missions? What approach is most effective? What is least effective? who is not getting their job done. This is essential, and I am convinced it's possible and must be done. We need to explore and utilize, quote, the top-level approach. Traditionally, we go to the bush. Wherever we go to the bush. There are many reasons for this. Among those, it's easier, it's cheaper, and it's more fun. It's more fun. But with this approach, it takes two, three, or more generations to accomplish change in a country. Our Baptist heritage in this country indicates and proves that. If in the deliberations, the course of this day, we, all of us, came up with a cure for cancer, or a cure for mental illness, or a plan for world peace, we wouldn't go to rural North Carolina to implement this plan, would we? We'd go straight to Washington, to the National Institute of Health, to Congress, to the President, wherever we can get the most clout. And if we really believe Jesus Christ is the answer to the problems facing this world today, if we really believe Jesus Christ is the answer to the problems in the Middle East, if we really believe Jesus Christ is the answer to the problems in Nigeria and the world over, should we not also apply the same methodology of presentation? And I believe that we have the opportunity through medicine, through education, through administration and related approaches to make a presentation at top level. The final major change, I believe, is a need for us as Southern Baptists to dispel some of the misconceptions, wrong ideas that we have about our mission, about our missionaries, about our foreign mission board, and our involvement. Some very sweeping, very radical changes have taken place here for me in recent years. Among other things, I've learned that mission is people. Mission is people. Missions are people. Missions are people. People who are called, who are set apart to minister in a different culture. People doing their thing for Jesus Christ. And we've been at it a long time. But I challenge you to name for me this morning one country anywhere in the world in which missions has made one iota of difference. One country anywhere in the world in which missions has made one iota of difference. Missionaries, not missionaries, but missions, and especially medical missions, has lost much of its dynamic, awe-inspiring, massive revolutionariness for me. It's just not there, and we've got to realize it. And if this is what you're looking for, if this is what you're thinking about, if this is what you're anticipating, you're going to be heartbroken because it's not there. It's not there. Christ himself could not and did not accomplish it through or with the masses. Missions is people. People reaching out and touching. Demonstrating God's love one-on-one. One-on-one. And oh, my friends, you talk about an effective and meaningful ministry. This is it. Believe me. I know. Reaching out and touching one-on-one. I first began to understand and grasp this concept, I think, on August the 14th, 1968. I was at our Baptist hospital in Gaza. I just finished a tour of Africa and the Middle East for the board. I was making rounds with Dr. Merrill Moore and Gene Dickman and others at that institution. We were standing at the bedside of an 8-year-old girl named Blandina. Blandina was a dirty, stinking Arab refugee out of a dirty, stinking Arab refugee camp. Her folks were part of the PLA, the caliber of people that kill people at the Olympics and blow up airplanes and this type thing. Blandina had fallen off of a donkey cart and the big wooden wheel had run over her leg and crushed it. Merrill Moore had done everything he could to try to save this child's leg, but he couldn't. I still my light had set in. He failed. Blandina had been there for months, recovering. As we were standing there making rounds, Merrill was talking about Blandina. And he had his hand on the bed, just standing like this, talking. And without saying anything to anybody, no communication between them, I noticed Blandina crept her little hand across the bed and just held on to his finger. He didn't speak and she didn't speak. We went on and finished rounds. Had breakfast, said my goodbyes, and the driver was taking me back to Tel Aviv to come home. About 2 miles from the hospital, who should I see going down the road just as hard as she could on the homemade crutches that had been made for her there at the hospital with her amputated stump. A little brown ditty bag in one hand, going just as hard as she could, was Blandina. And so I asked the driver to stop, and we picked her up, and we took her back to the hospital. And I wish, my friends, I could share with you verbatim the conversation that took place between these two very unlikely people. A highly trained, highly skilled, deeply motivated thoracic surgeon and a dirty, stinking Arab refugee girl. I can't because my Arabic is not that good, but it went like this. Blandina, where in the world are you going? Oh, Dr. Moore, I'm going home. Well, what's the rush? I got to get there, Dr. Moore. Well, honey, it's 6 miles to your refugee camp. We were going to take you. I know, but I can't wait. Can't wait for what, Blandina? Oh, Dr. Moore, I can't wait to get there to tell him. Tell him what? About that amputated stump or that one shoe and the ragged hospital gown and that little ditty bag? No. Tell him what? Tell him what, Blandina? To tell him about Jesus that I met in this institution. This, my friends, is what I mean by reaching out and touching one-on-one. One-on-one. Yes, we need a bold new strategy. But the three most important things we need to implement this strategy are these. Number one, money. Money. This is the biggest and most urgent problem facing our mission force. For the first time, I'm seeing new work go unbegun because of a lack of funds. Budgets are decreasing. I'm seeing missionaries dreading, consciously and subconsciously, the arrival of new co-laborers. Because this will mean that budgets will increase and existing work will go unfunded. Think about that. And incidentally, I now understand and accept the contingency fund. It must be retained. It is not exorbitant. Money is a desperate and urgent need. $51 million sounds impressive, but it will not get the job done. Secondly, and very closely akin, is an urgent need for people. People. People that we have described this morning. People who have been given the missionary gift, the ability God gives some to minister, to some ministers of the body, to minister in a different culture. People who are literally willing with Isaiah to say, here am I, send me. 2,600 out of 12 million people does not speak well for our concern or our involvement in foreign mission. Like it or not, it's true. And the only source we have for both money and people is our churches throughout the Southern Baptist Convention. That's the only source we have for money and people. Yes, we need a bold new strategy. Yet it is all dependent, and implementation will never come without a reaffirmation and a recommitment to mission, to involvement by our churches, and that's us. You and me, this is the most urgent need, a need for involvement. But there's an adjective that goes with this involvement, a very important adjective. A medical student had gone to see if he liked missions, if he thought this was what he ought to do with his life. He was going to try it out. He was standing in a leprosy hospital in West Africa, standing at the bedside of a patient for whom he had provided good medical care for nearly 2.5 months. But through all of this, he remained aloof. He held back. Everyone sensed it. Everyone knew. But he had provided top-notch medical care. Suddenly, as he was standing by the bedside of this leper, the patient had a cardiac arrest. His heart stopped beating. Reason unknown. Now, this medical student, as he stood there, he knew what. He knew how. He knew what it would take. As the seconds clicked off, he knew that it would take mouth-to-mouth resuscitation and external heart massage. But he also knew the risk of being involved. And suddenly, with a feeling that he had never, ever experienced before in his life, he clasped his mouth to that of this deformed, infected, wretched leper and breathed life back into it. He became totally involved. Total involvement in God's will, God's way, God's plan. This is what is essential. The future is unlimited. The future is bright. The future is challenging. The future is demanding. But the rewards are unbelievable also. And I ask you, what are you doing with your life right now? What are you planning with your life right now that's going to make any difference 10 years from now? If I had not been there to take that appendix out, to take that stomach out, to take that lung out, to take that cancer out, would not and could not someone else have done it? If you were not there to fill that pulpit, to fill that chair, to fill that position, could not and would not somebody else do it? What are you doing with your life right now? What are you planning with your life right now that's going to make any difference 10 years from now? Precious Jesus, help us to care. Help us to open our minds and hearts and find our involvement in your will. For it's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
Let the force of this confrontation continue to challenge and ring in our ears is our prayer as we part with thanksgiving to Thee for Thy word to us today, O Lord our God. Amen.